three May 2020 articles from Next Avenue highlight many of the ways that seniors are persevering during the pandemic. Even though there has been some progress to open up and relax stay-at-home provisions, the virus is not done with us. At this writing, some of the areas that loosened restrictions are now experiencing rising numbers of COVID cases. Today's articles offer responses from a variety of Next Avenue readers on what they have learned due to the pandemic, how relationships are changing, and how residents of one retirement community in California cope with the isolation, help one another, and carry on despite an uncertain future. The articles include Ways That Coronavirus is Boosting Relationships by Leslie Fields, Readers Persevering in the Pandemic by Sabrina Cruz, and When COVID-19 Takes the Community Out of Your Community by Dick Friedman. And I will begin with Ways the Coronas is Boosting Relationships. Back in January or February, you may have thought that liking someone's Facebook post qualified as catching up with a friend. But if you've been self-isolating at home since March because of the coronavirus pandemic, you've probably upgraded to phone calls and video chats. This dramatic change in interpersonal connection has been one positive effect of COVID-19, fueled partly by concern for others and partly by the free time which people may have when they're sheltering in place. This pandemic has completely shifted where our social needs lie and what we're craving, says Marissa Franco, a psychologist and friendship researcher based in Washington, D.C. People often talk themselves out of reaching out to others because they assume people are too busy to talk, but now we assume that others have more time. Many people are enjoying phone check-ins and Zoom happy hours with their usual circle of friends, rather than relying on texts and social media. Others are seeking old friends whom they haven't spoken with in decades, reestablishing meaningful connections amid the health crisis. When we're faced with stress and uncertainty, what we long for most is comfort and security and a sense of protection from the current threat, says friendship expert Suzanne Degas-White, professor of counseling at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb. Reaching out to friends from the past is a way to reconnect with a feeling of safety and familiarity. Reuniting by chance. In April, Lisa Collier Cool of Pelham, New York, was surprised to receive an invitation to a Zoom virtual reunion from her former elementary school because her family had moved away before she had graduated from that school. Cool replied to the group message with the same names of her three closest friends from fifth grade, hoping to reestablish old relationships. Within a day, she received an email from her long-lost best friend, Felicity Blunden, who had seen her message. Elated, Cool responded, and 2 days later, the women attended their Zoom reunion together. I was so thrilled to see my tiny thumbnail of my BFF, and then to see her full size when she shared a bit about her life with the group, said Cool, 67, an author and journalist. Since then, Cool and Blunden have emailed each other regularly, and they may schedule another video chat soon. Cool also hopes to meet Blunden in person once it's safe to socialize again. Finding her is unquestionably the best thing that has happened to me during this horrible pandemic, Cool says. I cherish each of her emails as a wonderful connection to happier times and a beautiful friendship that began 60 years ago in 1960. Reveling in the novelty of a reestablished friendship may make self-isolation easier to endure because you're entering new territory without going anywhere. The appeal of old friends is the nostalgia and mental time traveling, Franco says. They bring us back to our past selves, our past memories, at a time when people are seeking to transport themselves out of the walls of their home. deepening an existing connection. Rhonda Rees of Los Angeles was already connected on Facebook with Susie Worster, a favorite friend from nursery school and kindergarten, whom Rees had lost touch with as a youngster because they attended different schools. They had reconnected twice, but had never met or spoken as adults. During the first week of April, when Rees had been in mandatory lockdown for 3 weeks, she reached out to Worster to schedule a phone call. "I had some more time on my hands due to the pandemic, so now seemed like the perfect time to reconnect with her this way," said Rees, principal of a public relations company. "I was so seeking meaningful connections from my past, as that was much more of an easy and simple time period. We left our phone call with the feeling that this may be the start of a brand new, decades-old friendship," Rees says. "Once the quarantine lifts, we do plan on meeting. Connecting by phone may help to bridge the years. The sound of a comforting voice on the other end of the phone can quickly transport us back to another time," Degs White says. "It brings a greater sense of presence, warmth, and personal connection that texts just can't provide. Taking the virtual plunge." When Jenna Glatzer's college friend, Miles Cleott, posted on Facebook that he was hosting a Zoom happy hour in April, Glatzer decided to attend. She hadn't had a conversation with Cleott in 22 years and thought it would be nice to catch up. Because she joined his Zoom meeting late, she stayed on the call while the group dwindled down. "We got to talk for a long while to end the night," said Glatzer, a New York-based ghostwriter in her 40s. "I got to introduce him to my daughter, too. Pretty cool." Reuniting with a friend via video chat may help lift your mood during the pandemic. Just to be able to see another person's face and look into their eyes can lift our spirits immensely and help us feel like we are part of a community, Degs White says. Deciding whether to reconnect. If you're wondering about a long-lost friend, now may be the time to reach out. Keep in mind how wonderful it can feel to hear from an old friend from your past, Degs White says. By reaching out, you let someone know that they matter to you. Don't worry that you haven't spoken in years. Your friend should be flattered that you thought of him or her. The most common way people end friendships is not because anyone has done something malicious, but because they have simply gotten busy and fallen out of touch, Franco says. Now we have the time. A one-time check-in with an old friend feels right for some people. Others may want more. If you're hoping to reestablish a friendship, it helps if you are both on board. We have to recognize that friendships won't thrive unless they are nurtured over time, Degs White says. As lockdowns ease and we are able to engage in the activities that busied us before the pandemic began, we may realize that the relationship isn't meant to endure. If you reconnect with a friend and eventually drift apart again, appreciate that your interactions helped you survive the pandemic. Even if we rekindle a friendship for now that doesn't last, Franco says, in these moments, that friendship really helped us and meant something. Lisa Fields, author, is a writer who covers psychology and health matters as they relate to the workplace. And going on now, too, from our readers, persevering in the pandemic. The U.S. confirmed its first case of the novel coronavirus in January. Looking back, we couldn't have imagined how quickly and drastically American life would change, particularly for older adults. Knowing that COVID-19 disproportionately affects people over 65, we've been working hard serving those of you who may be at risk or are caring for those who are. We have turned to medical professionals, mental health experts, and thought leaders. Now we're turning to you. We asked our readers on Facebook to tell us what you've learned due to the pandemic, why that's been meaningful, and how you're finding your own way forward. Some of you sent photos, others inspired us with the wise, poignant, and sometimes funny things you said. Family. My 90-year-old mother-in-law lives in assisted living and hasn't come out of her room in over a month. A Great Depression baby who lived through World War II, she's sharp, healthy, and doesn't complain. We can all take advice from her. She's my hero. From Kim M. in Dunlap, Illinois. My mom is a native of Japan, lived through World War II as a child, and immigrated to the U.S. in 1958. I want to give her just enough detail so that she knows why I'm doing or not doing certain things, like breaking our usual rituals, but not so much that she's overwhelmed and propelled back into wartime. By Gwen L., Buffalo, New York. Our family has postponed several repairs that need to be done around the house. My son and I have postponed medical procedures and surgeries, and his dad and I have postponed the date to file our divorce. Megan B. I'm 84, and I live 200 miles away from my family. If you don't connect with your family, now is the time to start. They will be healthier and happier if you do. Carolyn W., Pismo Beach, California. I'm fortunate in that while both sons live out of the area, we Zoom weekly and text nearly every day. Frida G. My mother's birthday is today. I haven't seen her since mid-March. She has hearing and vision deficiencies. I know she asks for me. It's very sad. Lynn C. Caregiving. I have been going back and forth to visit my husband at a rehab facility. He's recovering from a brain biopsy, which proved to be cancer. It's a scary situation. What if his treatment is delayed? What if it blows through the rehab center before he comes home? From Janie R. in Dallas. I'm a caregiver. Today, one of my clients said to me, "You are a breath of fresh air, just having you here to talk to me." She's 102 and still lives at home. Her kind words made my day, but also show how lonely older adults can be. From Jean H. in Akron, Ohio. My husband has dementia. I pray every day for his safety. If he gets hospitalized, I'll fight to be with him. Bev M. Good thing my mom lives with me so I can keep an eye on her. I don't want to see her get ill. She's my favorite woman in the world. From Lily O., Pomona, California. Grief and loss. Mom was buried early. No service, no flowers, only 5 people permitted. I managed to buy some flowers at the local grocery store. We will do what she had planned later. Mom grew up during the days of isolating due to polio. She would understand. From Holly A. I am missing my grief group during this time. Some had become good friends. Rose T., Bloomington, Minnesota. We just lost our aunt on Friday, the last of her generation. She leaves a big hole in our hearts. Kathleen F. If you can't attend a service in person, send a card to the family sharing how their loved one impacted your life and what wonderful memories you have of times spent with them. Shirley U., Fairmont, Minnesota. Daily life. I follow Native American traditions, so my spiritual practices haven't changed. Mother Earth is still Mother Earth, and my church is still among the standing people and the 4 and 2-legged. My prayers are always for health, safety, and education of all. May we all have an attitude of gratitude and follow the good red road. From Melissa H., Niskayuna, New York. I color my hair every 5 weeks to keep it red. I get my nails done every 3 months. It's always kept my spirits up. Now I am so depressed. I can't wait until this is over. Lynn P. Work. My small business is devastated by the coronavirus since it helps seniors and families find assisted living or memory care. God only knows what the outcome of this is going to be. From Cheryl C., Campbell, California. I'm a psychotherapist and have been using FaceTime with some of my clients. It seems to be helping them, but it's not the same as in person. Acts of kindness. I put money as store credit at our local pet food store for a neighbor who didn't have money to buy it. My reward is knowing that her pets have their proper food. Dolly S. I am 78. I sit at my sewing machine and make masks for friends, neighbors, and relatives. I mail them all over. It gives me purpose, and I hope it helps. I feel useful. Ann P. One of my golf partners is in complete seclusion, so I decided to perk him up, got lunch at his favorite Texas Roadhouse, delivered it to his home, and then I FaceTimed him from the car. Had a good talk and a great burger. Lloyd K., LeClaire, Iowa. My entire career was spent working with the have-nots, the disenfranchised, the often invisible. Yet it has taken the current situation to bring this simple truth to my attention in a deep and profound way. There are people who care about others, and there are people who don't. Renee M., Effort, Pennsylvania. Finding silver linings. For my anxiety and depression, I have found getting out to walk on good weather days really helps, even if it's just around the neighborhood. Teresa H., San Francisco. The Virginia bluebells I planted reminds me that planting is a statement of faith and hope for the future. Melissa S. By the time this crisis ends, I might get caught up on my laundry. That from Carol N. Since my gym closed, I took up jogging. I don't go far, but I'm going to work up to it over time. Kim W., Plains, Illinois. I have been calling people, relatives I haven't talked to in a very long time, casual acquaintances I wouldn't normally call. How are you doing? How are you holding up? How do you get to the grocery store? How do you get your groceries? What are you doing to occupy your time? From Nancy K., Royal Oak, Michigan. I'm learning that I am very rich in ways that have absolutely nothing to do with money. Molly H., Guadalupe, California. Some comments were edited for length and clarity. That was by Sabrina Cruz, a Next Avenue audience engagement editor. Her work involves multiple social media platforms and getting to know readers. Going on now to when COVID-19 takes the community out of your retirement community, by Dick Friedman. In normal times, Rossmore, an 1,800-acre active senior community where I live in Walnut Creek, California, is a cacophony of sound. There are the crack of the mahjong tile, the thwack of the pickleball hitting a racket, the clink of a wine glass, the strains of a classic rock tribute band in concert, all evidence the ceaseless hum and general good fellowship at the San Francisco suburban community once known as Leisure World. These, of course, are not normal times. Rossmore, which has almost 10,000 residents, ranging in age from the late 50s to centenarians, boasts more than 200 clubs and organizations, educational, recreational, athletic, religious, plus 27 holes of golf, a spiffy new fitness center, a first-class weekly newspaper, a community TV channel, and a full slate of entertainment. Residents live in a mix of housing, from single-family to one-bedroom condos, each on an entry, which is like a small block. The layout, like the atmosphere, encourages mingling. At least it did until March 16th, when Governor Gavin Newsom issued shelter-in-place orders in hopes of flattening the curve of the coronavirus. Suddenly, and a bit shockingly, Rossmore's fabled community heard the sounds of silence. Since then, and until the governor lifts the order, there's no golf, no fitness, or computer classes, no lectures, no concerts, no bridge or mahjong, no trivia, woodworking, or painting, no club meetings, no gathering for drinks at the Creekside Clubhouse. Perhaps worst, people now can go days without seeing their friends and neighbors. How have the residents of Rossmore coped? By finding ways to reimagine and reinvent their community for the temporary, one hopes, reality. Plopped down in the middle of Rossmore, the Creekside Golf Course is a rolling but walkable nine-hole layout which, with golf shut down, is wide open to adults strolling or scooter riding. The primary purpose of such rambles is exercise, but the Creekside course has evolved into a de facto central park or village green. These days, put on your mask, head out to Creekside, and you're sure to run into at least one similarly masked friend, says Ellen Gilman, a longtime resident originally from Massachusetts. My husband Jim and I walk daily on the golf course, and everyone smiles and waves from their distance. We often meet fellow members of the Trails Club, who are also doing their favorite activity, of course, and we stop for a distant chat. I find the interactions sustaining. Old friends. To ward off isolation in the pandemic, some people don't even venture to the golf course. I live on a little entry, says Claire Levine Wolf, a longtime resident. I say, Claire, take yourself outside, and someone will take out their garbage. If I'm out there with my dog, someone will poke their head out and will stay socially distant and have a conversation. There are those, however, who are unwilling or unable to go out. Thankfully, many have Rossmore friends who are trying to look out for them. Normally, Pat Ranigan would be planning spring and summer barbecues and mixers as chief operating officer, secretary of the community's 600-plus member Energetic Club. Boomers forever. Motto, no one has more fun than we do. Now she's working the phones, just seeing if folks are okay. During our isolation, I have made a point to call one or two people a day to check in, catch up, and ask for or extend help where feasible, Ranigan says. Gilman does something similar as director of the Rossmore Fund, which extends aid to the community's needy families and individuals. Though most residents seem to be at least comfortable financially, a small but significant number are not. We are looking out for the more vulnerable among us, she says. She notes that Rossmore Fund is still receiving donations, reflecting the desire of so many here to help their neighbors. The fund has increased the amount of its grant to Meals on Wheels for Rossmore residents and has been making calls, Gilmore says, just to offer help with finding resources and to present a friendly voice. The dangling conversation. Says Wolf, the Rossmore Fund's president, what we found was that the people we got through to were glad for the touch and the concern. One woman even started crying. Reaching out also has continued in religious organizations. Carolyn Rimstein, vice president of Bnei Israel, Rossmore's 450 Jewish congregation, says, we gathered together the names of people who are alone and don't have any access to email. There will be 30-odd people making phone calls to 80 or 90 people, checking in once or twice a week. Among them are people who are isolated and live alone. They have access to email and not much human contact. Rimstein notes that Bnei Israel has taken things a step further lately, as with so many Rossmore clubs, it now conducts gatherings online. Through Facebook, we have a Shabbat service every Friday, she says. We are going to keep services going through technology rather than face-to-face. Technology has been a godsend for community building at Rossmore. My book club has chosen the next three books and is meeting via the video chat service Zoom twice as often as before, said Gilman. We even took part in a Zoom cocktail party. Says Tim O'Keefe, CEO of the Golden Rain Foundation, Rossmore's administrative arm, the fitness trainers have been making workout videos that residents can do at home. So have the golf pros. The recreation staff have been providing live online cooking and craft classes. Today, they are hosting a live trivia session on YouTube. They have written new articles on travel and entertainment and encouraging residents to share their experiences and poetry. One issue that has cropped up online and the In Letters to the Editor pages of the Rossmore News is whether the activities shut down, residents should receive a reduction in the monthly fee, generally $800 to $1,000, for maintenance and amenities, the so-called coupon. Turns out that it's complicated. O'Keefe wrote to the News that making arbitrary reductions in coupon, as some residents have demanded, would be irresponsible without a corresponding reduction in services and costs. But what expenses should be cut? Landscaping, insurance, golf, pools, buses, entertainment, clubs, studios? It's too early in this crisis to know with certainty how long the pandemic will go on and how it will affect this community, making it very challenging to plan. During this challenging time, most Rossmoreans are hanging in there, but yearning for a return to normalcy, whatever that will be. "I'll be real glad to get back to that fitness center," says Wolf. Meantime, many residents feel blessed to be here. One of my neighbors put it best when I encountered her on the golf course walking her dog. She gestured at the greenery around her. "What a beautiful spot," she said. "If you have to be stuck in place, this is about as good a place as any." Dick Friedman is a former senior editor at Sports Illustrated and is currently contributing editor at Harvard Magazine. I found the breadth of emotion expressed in these articles, the grief, acceptance, hope, and humor, to be inspiring, refreshing, and quite thought-provoking, leading me at times to be quite introspective, as well as times to share with family and friends. I hope that you all are finding ways to connect with others and perhaps even find a silver lining. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik.